Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Oh, dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Hi, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy on Monday, May 10th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. And in a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Clearing the Path of Clutter and Chaos, with my guest, Regina Lark. Hi, Regina.
Hi, Flora.
Hi. I first want to welcome all of my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us because I realize you have lots of other things you can do. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. That goes for you too, Regina. I thank you for making time in your schedule. And we are on the line live, so in a few moments we're going to get to the interview. But first I want to remind the listeners that if you're on the phone lines, you just need to press 1 if you want to let me know you have a question or comment. If you're over there in the chat room, type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. I so far want to welcome Strategic Coaching. I see you join us there, so welcome. And as time goes, we'll have more people coming into that room. I want to remind everyone that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. The most common thing that happens is that we lose the signal. If the signals get lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything that was going on while you were away, because all the shows are recorded and available later for you under on-demand episodes over on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about the show on my show page, which is blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. You can actually follow me on Twitter. As a matter of fact, you can tweet people while the show is on. You can visit me and become a fan on Facebook. Most important, you can add yourself as a friend of my show right there on my show page. So please do any and all of those things if you enjoy this show. Now, for those of you who don't know me, again, I'm Flora Brown. I'm an author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, because that's kind of the kickoff point for finding out about all the various programs that I have available to you, including the radio show. There I list the episodes that are upcoming. When you visit my website, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, and that newsletter will come to your email every week or every 7 days. You won't have to worry about missing anything, because when you sign up for the newsletter, you're going to start at the first issue and go through, and you won't miss the issues that have passed. So that's cool. Also, while you're there, you can click over to my blog. The articles that are on my blog are different from the articles in my newsletter. So isn't that cool? You get some fresh content. You will also be able to see over on my website how you can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Now, if you are local, if you live in Orange County or Los Angeles County, and you are ready to come out of hiding and live your life to its fullest, I have set up not too many weeks ago an interactive meetup called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. We meet every second and fourth Thursday in Orange County, and we discuss our various goals and work toward living the lives that we want instead of letting that dream slip by. So if this sounds like something that interests you, our next meeting is this week, Thursday, May 13th. But you need to go and sign up in order to get the details of the exact location. Just go to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you'll see information there that'll take you to the sign up for the meetup. Now, getting to our radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about all kinds of ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Now, to get at that goal, each week I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, you name it, all of those fields have to do with lasting happiness. Now, today, my guest is Regina Lark. Regina is a professional organizer from Los Angeles. Hi again, Regina.
Hi, Flora.
Hi. I want to tell the listeners just a little bit about you, and then we're going to get started. Is that okay?
That sounds great.
Okay, just a little bit about you. That you can tell them more as we go along if you wish. Regina Lark is a professional organizer based in Los Angeles. Now, she believes in the holistic approach to decluttering and organizing your home, your workspace, and your life, and I'm sure she'll explain what that means during the interview. Regina holds a PhD in history from my favorite school, University of Southern California. My school, oh, yay, Trojans. And she's on the board of directors of the Los Angeles chapter of the National Association of Professional Organizers. Now, we've all heard that clutter can often lead to stress, and that stress can sometimes leave us immobile to change our environment. Regina finds that many people with clutter don't know where or how to begin dealing with it, and that is so true. She's going to offer some tips and strategies today to help all of us, including me, clear our path and remain clutter-free. So I'm delighted to welcome you, Regina. Thank you for taking
the
time.
So nice to be with you today, Flora. Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, I learned about Regina from a meetup that she started over in West L.A., the Think and Grow Rich meetup. And you might want to tell us a little bit about that. That's how I learned about you, and I was interested in attending it. But then the time and the distance discouraged me because I was starting my own meetup and other stuff at the same time. But you can tell us a little bit about that, too, as we go. But I want to know why you started an organizing business, because when I see that you have a PhD in history, how did that get over into the organizing business?
Well, that's always a very good question, Flora. I have spent the last 20 years of my professional life in higher education, teaching and being an administrator. And the last job that I had, which I am now convinced is the last job I will ever have, budget cuts led to the dismantling of my unit. I was working for a university where I was a director of programs in the humanities, the social sciences, and the languages. And so I was hiring faculty and creating curriculum for 300 classes a year. And the university arm that I was working for, this part of the university, had decided that apparently there's not a big market for history, anthropology, and women's studies courses. And so they really just dismantled the whole unit and eliminated my position. Well, that was July 2008, and I'm a working person. I am somebody who is always, I'm always doing something. And, pardon me, this layoff was actually the best thing to ever happen to me. It wasn't a job that I felt was a good fit, and I was really looking to broaden my horizons about what was next in my life. And the goddess of jobs did for me what I clearly was not able to do for myself. And the layoff happened, and I was faced with really the first time in my life not having the next thing to go to. So it was a great opportunity to strategize what I wanted to do, what my passions are, and where I, you know, who are the populations I want to work with, and, you know, where can I take my skills, talents, and abilities, my advanced degree notwithstanding, and do something different. And so I was going to be a professional fundraiser. I was applying for jobs as a dean in community colleges, and I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so for 3 months, I thought, okay, whatever's going to stick, I'm going to pursue all three equally with as much passion as I have. And I must say, the opportunities for being self-employed is what stuck and what presented. And when I thought about self-employment, it's like, okay, what am I good at? Well, I'm really good at networking, and I'm really, really good at clearing space, at looking at the bigger picture and helping people to downsize, to organize. And I've been doing this for my friends and family my entire life. Mm-hmm. I tell friends, I do a lot of workshops on decluttering, and I tell people that my mom knew I had this gift. And so my bedroom was right next to the laundry room. And in order to get into my bedroom, I had to pass by the laundry room. And I could not pass by the laundry room with it in disarray. So everything was always very neat and orderly. And when I understood that there was a need for this kind of service, and I just went for it. I've never looked back, and the best decision ever made.
Boy, you must have been one of your mom's favorites to have a kid that loves to declutter. My goodness.
That's right. I know.
Wonderful. that's great. So it sounds like, and did I hear you correctly? You said the goddess of jobs.
Yes. Goddess of jobs.
Okay. That led you to this, and interestingly enough, this is what happens to many people, especially right now, when they get laid off or a job disappears, they get fired, whatever, or they can't find a job. They sometimes in desperation and sometimes intentionally start taking a look at their life purpose, looking at what they enjoy, and as in your case, reaching back to the past, thinking about things, what you've enjoyed all along.
Right.
It always makes more sense to go with that if you can tap into it, because it's going to be more than a job. It's going to be more, it's going to be a mission. And it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now,
following your passion.
Exactly.
You know, it's really a huge component in all of my entrepreneurial activities now.
Right. That is wonderful. I like the fact that you sort of landed on three ideas and decided to give each one your all to see which one was going to surface as the best match. Now, once you made that decision, how did you go from that to getting to your clients? Because you obviously had
another,
to seek out clients.
Right, and because I've been in academic life for so long, I didn't know anything about business or networking or marketing or any of those things. So the first thing that I did was, because I'm a working person, I thought, okay, I need to build a website. And my roommate said, I'll help you build a website, which is a joke because neither one of us know what we're doing when it comes to building websites. But what we did was we Googled, I said, let me see other websites. Let me see what other people are doing. And we Googled professional organizers in my zip code. And the first person to pop up was somebody that was known to my roommate. And we called her up, told her what I was thinking about. Not only was she someone known to my roommate, but she also lived on our street.
Oh, my goodness.
It was meant to be, Flora.
It was. Oh, my goodness. It
really was. And so Catherine Macy, she's got a company called Organize to Excel, and she invited me over for dinner. everything I wanted to know about professional organizing. We had that kind of a conversation. And she brought me on her first couple of jobs. She brought me on my first couple of jobs so I could see what this whole process is about, and I was good at it. And a month later, I started A Clear Path, and I've been doing LinkedIn. You know, I've known about LinkedIn for many years, and then one day I got an invitation to grow one of the LinkedIn groups that I was affiliated with, and I wrote back, and for the first time I wrote back to one of these groups. I said, why? What is LinkedIn really, and how is it going to benefit me? Mm-hmm. And I had, and again, the person, now this was a national list, but the person running the list lived within 5 miles of me. And we met for coffee, and he gave me a great tutorial on how to use LinkedIn for the higher good of my company. And I was off and running. So I learned social media marketing through my friend Matt Scalarad. And I also you're going to laugh. I sat at my computer early on in my business, and I thought, okay, how do I tell people about me? How do I get the word out? And I realized that a target market, the groups that I really wanted to work with, are baby boomers and seniors. Mm-hmm. Because baby boomers, I think, are the busiest in the United States. We have many, many obligations pulling at us, and we're raised in a culture that demands that we buy and buy and buy. So I figured baby boomers had a lot of stuff that they wanted to eventually declutter. And seniors, because I knew that the senior population is growing and growing and growing, and they're moving from the family home into assisted living. Right. And I wanted to help downsize. I wanted to help them downsize into the next phase of their life. So I sat at my computer, and I found the email addresses for every single person within a 50-mile radius of where I live that worked with seniors. And I'm talking case managers, social workers, podiatrists, cardiologists.
Wow.
And I sent out this email saying, hello, my name is Regina Lark, and I'm moving my business into these areas. I did the same thing with realtors and the same thing with anybody having to do with baby boomers. And I got really networked into these communities. So I also do a lot of on-the-ground networking to build this business.
So you went after your target client by looking at the people who work with your target client rather than going straight to the clients themselves initially.
Right.
It sounds like. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to reiterate a couple of things that you said, which are very important, even though this interview isn't supposed to be about business,
clutter, I know.
But it's very important because when you set out to do your business, you charged ahead and did some of the things that many people dodge around. For example, you decided to build a website before you knew how to build one, but you were willing to jump in. And I have to tell you, there's nobody who knows everything there is to know about any of this. So all of us are learning, even the gurus who, you know, they know one thing more than we know. And then we know one thing more than the people behind us.
Exactly.
So everybody's in the learning mode. But you also Googled your competition, which many people wouldn't consider. They'd want to learn from the competition, but they wouldn't directly contact them. They would many times try to sneak around and find out what they're doing. But you went straight for the gusto and contacted somebody who was already doing what you wanted to do, which makes a lot of sense, and ask for help. And this is another thing. People who know what they're doing and are comfortable and successful are very open to helping you if
Absolutely.
You are straightforward with them, because look at what you got. You got to get into and involved with her business. You got mentored. You got to get some practice. And most important, you built your confidence that you could do it too.
Yeah.
So I just think that's wonderful. Now, and I like your focusing on baby boomers and senior citizens, because God knows both of those groups are clutter. And I'm kind of in both of those groups. So I must have double clutter then. And we need help.
Now, Laura, I also want to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I want to say that you touch on an important point when it comes to competition, because I don't believe in competition. I don't believe I am competing with anybody. In this business especially, there's more clutter out there than those of us who can clear it. And I now sit on the board of directors for my national, we have a National Association of Professional Organizers, LA chapter. It's called NAPO LA. I now sit on their board of directors. It's an amazing resource for people who need to have, help with decluttering. But it's a very, very collegial and very inspiring group that I get to be a part of. So, I'm a pay it forward person, and I feel that there's no competition, primarily because nobody has me on their team.
Right.
And if you don't have me, how can you compete with me?
Exactly. And I use that term because that's what most people view it, but I'm with you.
Yes.
That there's no one who can do what you do, because it has to be you there doing it too, and there's no competition in that sense. But what's important is to go for someone who is doing what you want to do and who's successful at it. Who better to ask, and who better to be affiliated with? So I applaud you for being that forward-paying and forward-thinking person.
Thanks.
Now, let's get to how you help people, because clutter is a serious thing that many of us want to avoid.
Right.
Many of us can't even imagine helping another person because we aren't even dealing with our own. So how do you help people?
Well, the first thing I do is when somebody contacts me to what I call a potential client, but also I'm very open to anybody sending me an email with any of their questions. The first thing I ask people is, what's driving you the most crazy? And what is it about the area that you feel is cluttered that is having a negative impact on your life? Because usually people don't call me if all is well. There's something that has happened that they've reached the saturation point.
Okay.
Clutter is generally, and I'm going to talk about the general population or most people, we have clutter and chaos, disorganization in our life for a couple of reasons. One, we have something happened situationally, meaning a marriage or a divorce, birth or death, a child leaves home to attend college, one of the people living in the household found a job or lost a job or retired. There was a moment when a situation that people have been feeling pretty well in control of changed. And when that changed, a lot of people were never able to get caught up again. They didn't create a new routine, habit, or system to accommodate this change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you don't create that new habit or system, now you are delaying decisions about what's coming into the home and how to deal with it. So, for example, if you have empty nest syndrome, which a lot of boomers have, now they have the bedroom that is available for a guest room or a home office, but they don't go immediately and take that next step to change that space. So it becomes a catch-all. And then they start piling things in there, and pretty soon you can't even open the door to the room. Once that situation changes and, closet space changes or the garage, everything is going to be shifted and moved. Now you're faced with a situation, I have this, but I don't know where to put it. Let me just put it aside for now.
Right.
And what happens is piles. And and then you just look around, you're going, how did I get into this mess? And I don't even know where to start to clearing it up. So when I first start talking with people about this, I really try to focus on what happened and not what's wrong with you, but it's just like, well, what happened to create this?
Right. I was just laughing as you were talking because I can relate to what you said on a number of different levels, especially the whole thing about delaying decision-making when you were talking about the situations that take place in our lives. And I've had several of those situations you named where I delayed making decisions about the stuff that was a result. And that's what leads to the piles and the I like to move my piles around, you know.
You
go to one area and move it to another area, and then that's a mess. But how do people start this declutter process? I mean, you ask them what happened, and they tell you, a child left an empty room or a parent died or whatever, and then what do you do? How do they start?
Well, one way is, there are several things to keep in mind. And I think probably the first thing is that when an individual wants to begin their own declutter process, that they have to make sure that whatever time, that they have enough time to do whatever project that they want.
Okay.
Here's kind of a formula. For every hour that you have to declutter, you want to have another hour to put things back, to put whatever you're going to keep back. So for every hour that you're going to use to clear a desk or a closet, you need to make sure you have a corresponding hour to deal with it on the back end of it.
Okay.
So if you have a closet that is just, you can't even open the door. You see those storage unit commercials, right?
Oh,
and it's
got too much
stuff, and the couple opens the door, and everything falls down upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, say you have a four-hour Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 hours, you're going to spend the time taking everything out of that closet and begin sorting it.
Mm.
So just before you open that closet door to do the work, in front of you, in front of the closet, you're going to have a piece of paper on the floor. One's going to read recycle. One will read garbage, trash, not worth keeping. One is going to be donate. This stuff has some value. I can't use it, so let somebody else. And another sign could be, doesn't belong in this closet, belongs in another part of the house. Or, doesn't belong to me, I want to give it back to my adult child. You know, something like that. So every item you take out of the closet, you just start placing in these piles. You want your recycle and your donate and your giveaway to somebody else pile to be greater than your keep pile, which will be the fifth pile. These are the things I'm going to hold on to.
Okay.
For every hour that you're doing this sorting, you have to have a corresponding hour to start dealing with it. So when I say dealing with it, it's, okay, so now you have this donation pile. Prior to doing this work, you will have already charted or noted where you want to donate your things.
Right.
You want to have, you know, it depends. If we're doing a garage, and there's going to be a lot, you just know that you're going to have a lot of trash, you will have already pre-ordered a dumpster and have it on site. I think a lot of people get caught up in the fact that they don't take that next step. They pull out, they sort, they make piles, but then they don't make the provisions to deal with it. And then the stuff stays in your hallway. You know?
Right.
And you put it back, you know.
Well, I was really good at this when it was somebody else's stuff, when it was my mother. I did a great job of decluttering when she needed to move from an apartment to a convalescent home. But fortunately, she had downsized before that. So that helped.
She had
downsized years before to move into a senior apartment. So that helped. But it still was stuff to decide on. But it was easier in this case because I knew she wasn't coming back. So
right.
a lot of stuff right. I could be really hard-nosed about getting rid of because she right. wasn't coming back to that that living setting. And it wasn't, you know, I wasn't as emotionally attached to it as she
right.
had been.
And was she involved in that
away.
Process?
No, not, oh my goodness,
okay.
no. No,
okay.
I went, and after I had placed her,
Got
I
it.
Went back to her apartment, and I actually paid her rent at her apartment when she wasn't even there for, like, I think for 2 months.
Wow.
Because I needed time to get over there. I knew it was going to
yes.
take, you know, all
yes.
day. And we lived about 40 miles
yeah.
apart. So, and I wanted my sister to be there so we could rendezvous and my sister could take whatever she wanted. But I did just what you said. I did, before I went, arrange with the charity that we were going to donate anything to that was worthwhile. And I had a van, thank the Lord, at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took
yeah.
out all of those, the seats in the van, so that it was like a panel truck, you know, it was empty
mm-hmm.
back there. And I took boxes and tape to box up things. So I prepared, and it was, like I said, it was a lot easier because it was, number one, stuff I wasn't as emotionally attached to, and number
mm-hmm.
two, she wasn't going to be coming back to
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
setting. So that was easier.
Right.
Now, don't ask me about my stuff. I'm really good at it up to a point, and then I just relocate it. But it's a process. And if you don't have these five things, now you mentioned recycle,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to ask you the difference between recycling and donating. What do you mean? What's the difference?
Well, recycling, when I talk about recycling, I talk about the things that go in the big blue containers on our curb, the bottles,
oh,
the
okay.
cans, those
okay.
types of things. Also paper are good recycling things. Electronic waste,
yes.
all of our computer cords, mouses, all of those things.
Yes.
And hazardous materials like paint cans and
right.
Oil. I can't tell you how many garages have old containers of motor oil,
yes.
unopened, been sitting there for years. These things
yes.
have to be recycled, and
right.
Anybody can check online. If they have access to a computer, they can look in their zip code for the types of places. There are places everywhere that will help you recycle these things. I live in West Los Angeles, and so the clients that I have in West Los Angeles, I will either take it myself or tell them there's a UCLA has a every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they are an authorized like a reclamation center. So I send
right.
all of my e-waste, all of that there. So those
right.
are the types of things that have to be recycled.
Well,
donations are anything else. You know, recycling is also to repurpose and reuse. On
right.
my website, I have 6 pages of places where you can donate everything and recycle. So I have
wow.
where you can do the e-waste, but where you can send women's business attire, wine corks, old tennis shoes,
oh.
children's books, games, and toys. I mean, it's oh. all about recycling, repurposing, reusing. And
give us your website,
recycling.
Then.
Pardon me?
Give us your website. Tell us the website.
The website is www.aclearpath, and that's one word, aclearpath.net.
Okay.
And there's a link that has, recycling and donations. So
I
believe, I have this philosophy that stuff was made to be used. If
right.
we are not using it, it's not fulfilling its destiny. So let's find a way for our stuff to get used.
I have a question about, we have 10 minutes left. Gosh, we're running out of time. Is it better to carve out, let's say I want to declutter my bedroom. Is it better for me to carve out a day to do that or whatever time in one, you know, sitting or one block, or to do corners or drawers one at a time, you know, which do you think works better for most people?
It really depends on the person's stamina. I mean, I can go for hours doing this work, but when I start working with clients, we start out with a four-hour block of time. I work on a four-hour minimum because we could get a lot done in 4 hours, and it also helps me to gauge the person I'm working with, what their level of energy is.
Okay.
And another thing that has to be considered when you're doing this is the emotional content of your things.
Right.
The work can happen quickly if you can make a quick decision about your stuff.
Right. Right.
So carving out a whole day to do, I have a lot of clients that have just inherited their deceased parents' things.
Right.
And they don't know what they've got, and they don't know how to make these decisions, and so it'll take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then another part of this is carving out the time, for me, means putting it on your calendar, and when something better comes along, which it will, you discard it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Something better will come along. And it might even be a root canal for some people.
That's
but,
what I'm saying. I got a dental appointment.
Dental appointment, clear my closet. I mean, so you've got to be very focused and sure that you're going to be able to do the work that day. And then the emotional component of all of this, you put a value on your things, whether it's a monetary or emotional value. You did it.
Right.
You can revalue it.
Okay.
You can assign it a different value and lessen the value on some level, and that might make it easier to move forward from your life.
What about all those business cards we collect at networking meetings? What do we do with those?
We don't let them gather in piles on our desk. What I do and what I instruct clients to do is this. Every time I return from a networking event, within 24 hours, I will respond to individuals that I enjoyed, that I would want to do business with. I never send a blanket email, "Hi, everybody, it was good to meet you," because I'm out there looking to connect with people. So I will send them an email reminding them of a conversation we may have had or if I could be a resource to them. And, in fact, when I'm out networking, I don't collect a card unless after I collect a card, I always write down where I met them and just a blurb, a word or something about what we spoke about.
Okay.
And it makes my contacts that much more meaningful. Once I send that email out, I capture their email and I put it into a database and I add them to my my email newsletter database, and then I take the card and I file it in a notebook because one of my intentions in life is to be a great resource for others. So I've created a three-ring notebook with just those plastic business card holders in.
Okay.
And I have tabs for different people I want to be, organizations, legal, financial, professional, whatever.
Okay. You said something about, I think I lost it, emailing them, adding them to your newsletter. You mentioned about adding them to a database. What do you use for your database? Because
just Excel.
Numbers, though. Okay. Excel.
I just use. I just have everything in an Excel spreadsheet, and I don't mail out information to them. Most of my communication with people is through email.
It's email.
Through my
newsletter,
which I send through Constant Contact, or just on the ground. And so, I personally do not need P.O. boxes, I have a business card if I need a phone number, but I usually, most of my correspondence is through email. So the only thing I capture is the email address. And then if this is somebody that I like and I want to use as a referral or I want to refer to somebody else, that's why I keep their business card. I do not keep every business card because not every person I meet is somebody that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, or they live in a place that, whatever, you know, not every person, I'm not going to keep every business card.
And that's something that we have to come to realize. We have about 4 minutes left. I want to see if I can get to two questions. One of them is maybe a long answer. What do you work with hoarders? You know, we've seen the TV shows about people who are serious hoarders that have psychological things. And the second question is, once you declutter someone, how do they stay clutter-free?
Okay. Yes, I do work with hoarders, and I actually love working with hoarders. This is a very special population of people, and I, as it turns out, I have the patience and the acumen to work with this group. I'm about to join an organization called the National Study Group for the Chronically Disorganized and start giving myself the certification to work with the population. But currently I am working with two very severe hoarders. One lives in a very unsafe situation, and one is in a very unhealthful situation. And and it's a process, and it's sometimes some days it's a very, very slow process. But it also depends on where this person is at in terms of wanting to deal with this problem. And the other question you asked.
Oh, before I leave that, do they usually contact you or their families intervene and contact you, the hoarders?
It's both. The one that I'm currently working with who is in an unsafe situation, his family hired a social worker to help him pay his bills, and then the social worker called me to work on the apartment that we're in right now, but he does have about 8 storage units over 2 states.
Oh my God.
So it's going to take us a while. Another client is, she reached out to me, and in fact, she has been talking. She interviewed several organizers to see who she would be a good fit with, because again, this is, like you said, it's very emotional, very psychologically based. Mm-hmm. And there are about 5 to 6 million people in the United States and 129 globally who have a hoarding disorder. And and that's a very, very misunderstood population, and I feel very sensitive to them. In terms of how to not have clutter any longer, my goal with every client is that they never see me again. So what I do... Right, you know, so what I try to do is help them create systems and strategies that work for them. There's no one-size-fits-all model for how to maintain order in your home. We all live and work very, very different lives, and we all approach this in a variety of ways. So I work to connect with that people, ask them, you know, what's worked, what hasn't worked. If you're a very visual person, you need to have a filing system where your eyes can go right to the label that's going to help you with your filing. If you're somebody who is very computer-oriented, we might get all of your bill paying online or all of your appointments in Outlook. You know, one of my big things is, don't take anything into your place without taking something out of your place. You don't have to take home everything everybody hands you. I have I work in a lot of academic offices and staff on college campuses, and they say, well, I went to this conference and they gave me this literature. I said, no, you took it.
You took it. And people were
going
to run out of time.
You could have said no.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I want to give people your web address again. www.aclearpath.com. I want to make sure I get that
one more time. .net.
Oh, .net. Oh, I'm so glad I said that and got corrected. .net. aclearpath.net. Please give Regina a call, well, an email, or go to her website for those of you who desperately need your the service, and I think that's many of us. We're at the end of today's show, Regina. Thank you so much. This is
how fun to talk with you.
Thank you.
You know, call me back. We can do time management strategies. There's all kinds of things we can talk about.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I will be contacting you about that in the near future. Thank you once again, and I will see everybody next week, Monday, at the same time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Color your life happy.
Color.